Again, as always, good afternoon, everyone. I am honored and thankful to be able to get together with you as we share a word of inspiration and prayer on this day, on February 9th. God has blessed us and He's just allowed us to come together. And we're going to go ahead and continue our series that I started on last week entitled Love Never Fails. And just before I do that, I'm going to have a word of prayer over the word. Father, once again, we are grateful that you've allowed us to come together, God, to love on you, to hear a word, to talk to you, to appreciate how much you've been good to us. And we thank you for this time of sharing. We thank you, God, for the word that you have given me. I ask that you will use me. God, speak through me. God, not only speak through me, but God, speak to those who are going to hear this word and help us all, God, to grow in the love that you've called us to have and to walk in. And Father, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we started to talk about the five key choices that will help us to love in spite of disappointments, in spite of hurt. And just before I continue to teach on the keys, I want to look at the scripture found over in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Again, that is 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I thought I had it, and I don't. In verses 1 through 8. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to read that for you. It reads, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always hopes, always perseveres." And that is 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8. So we understand right here in this chapter that love never fails and that love is a powerful force. Because in this particular book, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, what he does is he shows us that one of our main problems in the church is that we place power gifts higher than love. And what do I mean by power gifts? You speak in tongues of men and angels. That's a power gift. We put that above love a lot of times. You may have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge and have faith to move mountains, power gifts. But if you don't have love, you can have all these wonderful power gifts, but without love, it's nothing. So, in other words, sharing a prophetic word, being an amazing teacher, even a great preacher of the word without love, all that is nothing. We need to realize that we cannot win the loss with any other language than what? The language of love. And when we seek to love God, when we seek to love ourselves and to love others, we can learn to love despite what happened in the past. That part right there can be kind of challenging. So we can even mend brokenness that may have plagued our families for generations. A lot of us have gone through situations in our past. There may be a generational situation that you've been dealing with for years. But guess what? Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18 that we are to have a ministry of reconciliation. We have to reconcile. If we are truly believers of Jesus Christ, we say that we are Jesus Christ believers, we love Jesus, and we are Christians, then we are called to reconcile. And that part right there, if we're honest, that can be a challenging part for so many of us. It's never wrong to love. It's never out of order to love. And you do not compromise when you love. You never lower your standards when you love. Jesus even said over in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, in verses 37 through 39, when he was asked, what was the greatest commandment? What was his reply? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God. For those of you that know the scripture, you probably know it by heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is, there's a part two to that verse. And the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's in the scripture where we can find Jesus emphasize in a huge way the importance of relationships. This is what life is about: loving God, loving ourselves, and loving others. So let's go ahead and let's continue in our study on this particular series, Love Never Fails. Last week, as I stated, I mentioned five keys on how to move forward and how to allow love to win. The first key that we talked about was what? Choose love over hurt. The second key was, or is, choose to love others always. The third key is choose to press forward. The fourth key is choose to heal your wounds. And that's something that can be quite challenging. And then choose to keep driving. And you may recall I asked a question last week, what was the common denominator with each key? And the common denominator is the word what? Choose. You choose. You choose to love over hurt. You choose to love others always. You choose to press forward. You choose to heal your wounds. It's a choice. You have the choice, and it's up to you to go forth with that choice. So last week we talked about the first choice, and that is choose to love over hurt. And in that, I shared the story of Joseph, found in the book of Genesis. I talked about how Joseph chose love over hurt. And today we're going to talk about the other choices, if time allows. The next choice you want to look at is choose to love others always. Choose to love others always. I remember a few years ago when my father was pastoring, I started a ministry at the church entitled Young Ladies of Virtue. And these were for young girls. They were from the ages of 9 to 18. And I had a couple of ladies that worked with me, and we basically helped the young ladies to just to get through life and teaching them how to carry themselves, teaching them how to be Christians, just giving them the basic information as young ladies. We wanted them to be successful young ladies. And there was one particular young lady that was part of the ministry. She was really drawn to me. And I remember one day she asked me, and she was probably about 12 or 13, and she wanted to come and spend the night at my house. So I said, well, I need to talk to your mother. So her mother was fine with it because she wanted her to have positive influence. Well, as the years had gone on, she grew up, she was a teenager, and then she went into the army. And the next thing I know, she reached out to me and she told me that she was a homosexual. And so, which is fine. I was like, okay. But then she was telling me how her mother disowned her. That was heartbreaking. Her mother disowned her because of her choice that she made. So her mother did not want to even talk to her. Her mother wouldn't spend time with her. She couldn't come back home to visit with her mother or anything. Her mother just totally disowned her. Now, this is major to me because a lot of times what happens is when somebody does something that you don't agree with, someone chooses a lifestyle that you may not agree with, or your child gets on drugs. I think about my younger brother and the life that he chose to live. And I think about other parents who are struggling with their children because of certain lifestyles, and how some parents will just disassociate themselves with them. But I think about my mother when it comes to my brother. And I love where this says, choose to love others always. My mother chose to love my brother, no matter what decisions that he made. She chose to love him because that was her son. And when I think about the other young lady and how her mother chose not to love, I think about how that impacted and how that infected, not just affected, but infected her daughter. So we have to be careful that we need to choose to love always. As a parent, we are supposed to love. Yes, we must chastise our children and everything else, but yet we have to love them. And this is what we're supposed to do. Love them like we've like they've never done anything. Eat with them, call them, email them, reach out to them, be there for them, tell them I want to have a relationship with you because what? I love you. And even I am grateful that I can say today that that same young lady who her mother had disassociated with, they are now they have a relationship. They have a stronger relationship. The mother has accepted her. And I am grateful for that. And this is why it's so important that we have to choose to love others always. Sometimes we think we are doing a good thing when we refuse to have any contact with loved ones who are not living up to our standard, but that is not true. How many times, God, Holy Ghost, thank you, have we not lived up to God's standard, but yet He still loves us? We haven't dotted every I and crossed every T, but yet He still loves us. We disobeyed Him, just blatantly disobeyed Him, but yet He still loves us. We talk more about loving, but sometimes we don't walk in that love. So I want to encourage you, choose to love others always. Choose to love others always. And then the next one I want to talk about is choose to press forward. Choose to press forward. If you've ever been hurt by someone, and if you have been betrayed or abused or gossiped about or whatever, something had helped happened and that pulled you away because of the pain, and you said, you know what, I'm done. Enough is enough. I don't know about you, but I know that's happened to me several times. And I would get to a point where I'm done with you. This is the way that you want to be, so be it. I'm done. But we have to realize we can be done to some extent, but staying bitter, reliving the memory, in other words, rehearsing it in your mind or harboring the pain leads us nowhere. It's counterproductive. You have to choose to stop the cycle. You have to choose to let it go. You have to choose to leave it behind. Paul encouraged us to what? Press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Jesus Christ is calling us to do. And it's time to let God heal you. It's time to let God restore you. It's time to let God do a mighty work through you. And I don't know who I may be speaking to on today, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you and tell you it's time to press forward. It's time to press forward. Stop rehearsing the negativity in your mind. The more you rehearse it, the more it's going to hold you down. The more you rehearse it, the more you'll become bitter. The more you rehearse it, you'll never release it. So stop dealing with it. Stop rehearsing it, in other words, because it's like a scab. You know, when you have a sore and or you have a you hurt yourself and then there's a scab that gets on it. As time goes on, if you get that scab, but then you start picking at it, what happens? It gets infected. And sometimes God wants to heal us from certain things, but we keep picking at it. And until we stop picking at it, thank you, Holy Spirit, until we stop picking at it, we're going to keep on having infections and it's going to come back up again and it will never heal. Just like a sore, if you don't just leave it alone, especially when the scab is on it, let it finish its process. But if you keep picking at it, you're going to keep causing infections and other things to happen. So I want to encourage you to choose to press forward. Choose to press forward, but not only choose to press forward, but choose to heal your wounds. I talked about the scab. You have to choose to heal your wounds. John, the 10th chapter tells us that the enemy's purpose is to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. The devil does not fight fear. Let me rewind and say that again. The enemy does not fight fear. He will not give up until you are wounded to death. And you may be dealing with some major conflicts in your family. You may be struggling in certain areas in your life, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your children, whether you've been heartbroken or something may have happened on the job, whatever the situation is. And while not all wounds are fatal, if they do not heal, they can kill you. What do I mean by kill you? They're going to kill your attitude. They're going to kill, it'll be more of a, where your whole disposition is going to change. And then it there's an infection that would actually happen. So I want to encourage you on today to just continue to choose to heal your wounds. Choose to heal your wounds. If you don't choose to do that, those wounds are not going to get any better. They're not going to get any better. God wants to heal you from your wounds, but first you have to let him. And before you let him, you have to admit to whatever brokenness or whatever wounds you had. I often say God cannot heal what we conceal. God cannot heal what we conceal. We got to say, God, this is my issue. I'm dealing with this. God, I'm frustrated in this area. God, this person hurt me. And right now, I do not like them. God, I'm struggling in this area. Be honest, be transparent so that God can heal. He can heal you. Close your eyes. As a matter of fact, just take a moment and just close your eyes and take a breath. When was the last time you sat still and closed your eyes and breathe and say, God, whatever I need to get right, God, help me to get it right. Just say that to yourself. God, whatever I need to get right, help me to get it right. He will give you direction. The word says in all of our ways, if we acknowledge him, he's going to direct our path. And when you do this, you're going to hear the word of God. You're going to hear Jesus whisper, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, because I want to give you rest. Don't you know that Jesus wants you to have rest? He doesn't want you to feel what you're feeling. He doesn't want you to continue to walk with your wounds, but he wants you to be healed, and he wants you to move forward, and he wants you to love and to have compassion. Now, I'm going to stop right here because of the time, and we'll continue on next week. But this right here is good to me because we have to choose to press forward. We have to choose to heal our wounds. And I want to talk a little bit more about that on next week. We have to choose to heal our wounds. So think about that. Think about that for this next week, during this week coming. Think about what wounds you need to have healed. Write them down. I'm not going to ask for you to share them with me, but you write them down. You think about it, and then you give it to the Lord. And be honest. Be true. God can heal if you let it go. God can heal if you say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. Give it to him. Why? Because he cares. This is the word of inspiration on today. I am grateful for this word of inspiration. I pray that it was a blessing to you, that it is inspiring you. We're going to go now at this time. We're going to go into prayer, but I want to encourage you again. I challenge you for the next couple of days is to take the time and just sit down and just close your eyes and deal with the wounds that you have. A lot of us have wounds. Somebody may not have any wounds, but I know I do. And I've had to deal with them, and I still have a wound. And if I allow myself to keep picking at it, it'll never heal. And there's a particular wound that I've been picking at recently that I realized that I've got to stop picking because God was healing me from it, but I started picking at it again. And let me just say this real quick, and then we're going to go in prayer. Sometimes God will heal us of our wounds, but sometimes the enemy will put it back in our face. And then what happens? We'll start talking about it. And because we start talking about it, it's like being refreshed in our spirit. Don't put your mouth on it. That's what God had to show me. Thelma, stop talking about it. Take your mouth off of it. Because the more you talk about it, the deeper it's going to get into your spirit. I've healed you from that. Keep your mouth off of it. So what I want to encourage you, whatever God is healing you from, and when he heals you, keep your mouth off of it. Even when the enemy will put it in your face again, keep your mouth off of it, because it's like you opening up a wound and not allowing the wound to heal properly. It's like you having stitches on a wound and you're picking at it, and now it's going to be infected. And sometimes if you get healed and then you open yourself up again, it might get even worse. So I just want to encourage you to have that time with yourself and be honest with yourself. This is the word of inspiration, and that was a little extra right there. But let us pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. And as always, we give you praise. We honor you, God, because you are a great God. You're a loving God. You're a kind God. You're a merciful God, a God that shows us grace and mercy, a God that shows us favor, a God that forgives, a God that lifts us up, God, when we are down, a God that heals, a God that delivers, a God that sets free. God, we thank you. You are the God. You are the God that created the heavens and the earth. You are the God that created us, oh God. You formed us in our mother's womb, and God, you looked at us and you gave us purpose, and God, we say thank you. God, the fact that we are here, God, on this earth, even today, day that we woke up, oh God, with the use and activities of our limbs, and we were able to see, to touch, to feel, to taste, and to do things, oh God. We know that we have a purpose for today, and God, we never want to take our purpose or you for granted. So today we just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving on us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for this word, oh God, that you have given us, oh God, and helping us to grow in love and helping us to forgive those, oh God, who have even despitefully used us, helping us to forgive those that have said negative things towards us, helping us to forgive those that may not even said anything towards us, but they might have hurt someone that we love deeply. And so because of that, we are not liking them. God, help us to forgive and help us to move forward. God, help us to press forward. God, help us to choose to heal our wounds. God, help us to choose to press forward. Help us to choose to love others always, no matter what the situation is. And God, is it easy? No, it's not. But with your help, all things are possible. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone who is connected on this line and anyone who may be listening at a later time, I pray that whatever wounds they may have right now, I pray that they will cast their cares on you, God. Why? Because you care, that they will give it unto you and let you do the healing process. Let you begin the healing process and they'll do their part. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you restore them, oh God, that you renew them, oh God, that you revive them and that you do a new thing. Father, I pray for family relationships, oh God, that may be a struggling right now. I pray for acceptance and whatever it may be. I pray for love and forgiveness, Father. I pray for unity. I pray for oneness, God, in the name of Jesus. God, is there anything too hard for you? Absolutely not. God, many of us have gone through so many things, but we also know you as a healer, God. We know you as Jehovah Rapha, the one that heals. And it's not just physical healing, but God, emotional healing, God, spiritual healing. And God, we say thank you for the healing on today. God, we thank you for what you're going to do. God, you're going to do great things, even through this series, oh God, that you led me to teach on during the month of February, the love month, God. I thank you, oh God, for the healing that you're taking, that's taking place. I thank you, oh God, for restoration, oh God. I thank you for renewal, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I pray, oh God, that even as we go our separate ways on today, that you will continue to be with us. I pray that your angels will be encamped around about us. I pray that you will lead us throughout this weekend and that you will even talk to us as we surrender ourselves to you and be honest with you on this weekend and throughout the week until next weekend. Allow you to do spiritual surgery within us, Father. God, I ask that you remove any obstacles, oh God, that may be within us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you for Pearson Sherman. I thank you, oh God, for the assignments that you have given us, oh God, as employees. I thank you for the assignments that you have blessed us with. And God, I pray that even as we begin open enrollment seasons for the different state agencies that we're going to be working on, I pray for favor, God. I pray that you will just allow us to be productive, oh God. I pray that we'll be able to reach those, oh God, that need certain insurances, oh God, and not just the insurance, God, but help us to have the right attitude and to be sensitive to their needs, oh God, and to be kind and to be tender-hearted, oh God, because when we're that way, God, we can also have good referrals. So, Father, we thank you. Use us all, God, as we go forth during this open enrollment period. God, we thank you and we praise you. God, remove all obstacles, oh God, that's trying to come our way. No weapon formed against Pierce Insurance shall prosper. Father, we thank you and we honor you. We give your name the praise. And even as we go forth, God, be with us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.